Hello, and welcome to a podcast from the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation for Freedom, Family, and Faith. This is Ann DeSantis. This is our virtue series for divorced and separated Catholics, those affected by divorce and separation. And this is episode 9. I have with me our board president, Mickey Kelly. Mickey, thanks so much again for joining us.
Hello, Ann. Great to be here.
Yes, this series has been great. And in case this is like the first time that you're watching it, what we've been doing is every month that we have a podcast on the topic of the virtues for those affected by divorce, we've been talking about a different virtue every month. So I just want to encourage you to, you know, go back and look at some of the other ones that we did. This one's going to be on obedience, and we're going to do it really according to the definition of what obedience is according to our Catholic faith, right? Which can be found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And I'm reading this. It says that the submission of the authority of God, which requires everyone to obey the divine law, obedience is to the church is required in those things which pertain to our salvation. And obedience is due to legitimate civil authority, which has its origin in God for the sake of the common good and the order of society. I mean, that's just a little bit. I'm going to read more, but basically we are all obligated to be obedient to God if we are devoted to our Catholic faith. Now, you who are watching this podcast, maybe you're going through a separation with a husband or a wife. Maybe you've been divorced for years. Maybe you're even an adult child of divorce. But I think the point we want to make with obedience, and Mickey, you can expand, is that part of obedience is not giving up on your faith when you've been tested in the way of, you know, maybe going through marital problems to a point that you had to get a divorce and an annulment. What are your thoughts, Mickey? I mean, we always say on this podcast, Mickey and I have never been divorced, but we are adult children of divorce. So we are familiar with the effects of divorce on family. What are your thoughts?
Well, Ann, you do bring up some excellent points, actually, in regards to obedience. Now, obedience, the root word is obey. And yes, we do need to obey. Now, there's a virtue that I always meditate on when I pray the fourth decade of the rosary, which is obedience to the will of God. In our lives, we need to obey what God wants us to do. Now, there is an obedience that the clergy have to oblige to from their bishops. However, obedience does have a cutoff. That is, if someone tried to tell you to do something that is sinful, you have the right to back off because it will be problematic to your soul. In fact, Ascension Press does have a wonderful article that was written about 5 years ago. Why the virtue of obedience transcends the right of conscience. Now, one of the things that obedience does, it helps us make moral decisions. Now, sounds a bit dirty, but here's that. It is an important part of our discipleship because we are learning when to obey and when not to obey. For us, we must obey God's will in our lives, especially if we are divorced. That is, God is calling us to be more present to our children. God wants us to get our house in order. And even we have to understand that we must obey. Children, you must obey what your parents are to do. Honor thy father and mother. Spouses, you must obey each other. As long as there is nothing sinful in that matter. So you cannot obey a sinful command. That's not it. You obey what God commands you to do.
Yeah, well said, because we all have to follow the same rules of God, meaning someone who's in authority who tries to get someone to sin or do something wrong, you know, the sin is almost double because they're sinning and they want somebody else to join them and do the same thing, right? So the obedience comes in when we realize that, you know what, even if this person is an authority figure in my life, if they're asking me to do something wrong, then I'm not going to do it, right? I'm going to listen to be obedient to God, not necessarily to that person. So I think that's good that you brought that up. The obedience is with God, not necessarily, and I'll put it in air quotes, man, but I mean man and woman, right? So that's good thinking there, Mickey. Now, just going back to what I was reading before, which is from the Catechism, it says the fourth commandment obliges children to obey, and I'm turning my page here, to obey parents. Obedience of faith, the first obedience is that of faith, to listen and freely submit to the word of God. Obedience of Christ, Jesus Christ, substituted his obedience to the will of the Father, even unto death for the disobedience of sin, in order to bring us the grace of justification and to satisfy our sins. View of obedience in imitation of this obedience of Jesus as an evangelical counsel, the faithful may profess a vow of obedience. A public vow of obedience accepted by the church authority is one element that characterizes the consecrated life, right? I have to mention that because guess who formed us? We were formed by a religious order, right? And they are religious. So they follow the obedience of the charism of their state of life, which is being a Mercedarian religious, whatever that is, a brother or priest, okay? So it's a different kind of obedience for a husband, wife, or a single person, or a priest in the diocese. You know, as they refer to it, as a secular priest, or however you want to phrase that, it's all different, right? So, but the end of the day, it's being obedient to God in whatever your state of life is, right? Now, let's turn the conversation back to the people who are watching this, right? That's the person who either just got separated, divorced, or they were divorced for a long time or an old. And you might be saying, well, am I being disobedient to the church because I got divorced, right? Well, we know that God's first design when a person gets married, obviously, is hopefully it'll work out great and you'll be married forever and you'll both be obedient to the vows that you made. But when a person winds up getting divorced or annulled, especially if they're annulled, when they do the investigation, they, meaning your diocese, the bishop, whoever it is that's investigating that marriage, something was missing from the beginning, right? When something is missing from the beginning, they never had what it took for that marriage to be successful. And therefore, the marriage really never existed. I know that sounds funny to say that. Civilly, the marriage existed, but according to the eyes of the church, it didn't. Okay. So that's the difference. So if a person says to me or to us, am I being disobedient because I got a divorce or because I got annulled? The answer is no, because many times when people get divorced, at least from what I'm hearing as an executive director of this foundation, some of the times, not all the time, it's because there was something seriously wrong with that marriage, right? Was there some kind of an abuse? As physical abuse or mental, psychological, some type of severe addiction problem or something. Let's talk about that, Mickey, because I know you and I both were affected by divorce in the fact that we were children of divorce. What is your thought? Somebody's watching this and thinking, am I being disobedient because I got divorced or annulled?
Well, Anne, you bring us some really good points because there are times that marriages, like, they think it's, you know, it's like it exists, but when you think about some of the problems that are brought in, and when it's under investigation, they really come to a conclusion that it never happened, and it's scary. And, you know, for us, I mean, you know, we were children of divorced parents, you know, it kind of, it doesn't just leave a hole in the spouse, but there's like a bigger hole in the children, because the children long desired that they were going to have their the parents growing up together, like all in one house. And now you have a house that is divided, and, you know, it does create some chaos too. And, you know, for anyone that's listened to this, that was a, is a child of divorced parents, my first thing is never abandon hope. Never abandon your faith. God will provide for you. And he has plans for you, as he did for the prophet Jeremiah. And we are called to rely on Christ, because he is not only a provider, but he's also the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, so well stated, because even if we've gone through some kind of terrible trial, both personally and even within the entire family unit, when we hang on to our faith in Christ, we can get through it. Now, as that we've talked about on a lot of other podcasts, it's not a once and done. It's not something that you say a special prayer or go to a retreat and then magically things are much better. It's not usually that way, because we do need prayers from others. We do need to depend on getting support where we need it. And that's where we come in as a foundation. And I've said this on several other podcasts, but don't forget that you can make that free pastoral appointment with us to speak to a priest, as many as you need, or spiritual direction too. So all you need to do is reach out at nonatus.org. Mickey, do you have any other thoughts on this whole notion of obedience? Because as it pertains to the person who's been through a divorce, I think what we want to do is we want to assure you who are watching that you can still be obedient to your faith, even if you do have to proceed in a way that you didn't want to proceed in this way. Maybe you're heartbroken, the fact that your marriage has broken up, or that you, the person that you were married to, wants a divorce, or that even you had to leave a spouse because of some behavior of theirs, or that you had to get that annulment, which you went ahead and did, or that you're in the process of it. So I just hope to be able to encourage you. Mickey, what type of encouragement, if you could speak directly to the person who's watching, what type of encouragement can we give them to keep going? Because things do get better. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've seen it in the lives of people that I know who have been through very, very challenging times, especially something related to divorce, and they've been able to get through it, and life has been able to get better. I know your family is a great example of that, Mickey. I didn't know if you wanted to share.
Well, I would say this, and I've talked about this in previous podcast episodes. I saw firsthand what it was like, you know, when the mom, my parents divorced, and my stepdad was coming into the picture, and there was bitterness between him and my dad. And I was very fortunate to see a quarrel break out between the two of them. You know, they became close friends to this day now, to the point where one invited him to go target shooting. You know, that's how it was, you know. I think that it can be one of the things that I would definitely suggest to anyone who's going through problems is, if you've been going to church since the beginning, keep going. It's going to get better, as you said, Ann. Pope Francis is credited with saying always forward. And I think that's what our faith journey has to be, regardless of what's thrown at us. You know, we're all made to suffer. And we have two choices when we suffer. We give it to Christ, or we throw in the towel and we just like find ways that is going to compromise not only our faith, but also maybe like our health, depending on what that is. We can't rely on things that you think, oh, it's going to make us happy, but deep down it's going to hurt us.
Yeah. And I think what you're speaking of, and I think all of us can be guilty of this at some point or another and in different forms, right? Is when we're hurting, a lot of us will reach to some kind of sin sometimes. We might not even realize it, right? And I'm not even talking always about mortal sin. I just mean something that's maybe less godly than something that we should be doing, right? And I think during our lifetimes, I think we've all been affected by that in some way. The sad part is that when a person becomes really addicted to that, and then it becomes worse, it snowballs into something worse, right? So maybe they start by, I don't know what example I could give. It could be like spending money. Maybe someone who every time they're upset about something, they like to go on Amazon and spend all this money. And
then retail therapy.
Right, right. And the next thing you know it, they're like, they've run out of money. They don't have anything left. I mean, so what I'm saying is it might start out of something that seems like kind of minuscule, like, okay, so what? They spend a little bit of extra money that day. Maybe it's not so sinful. But then it snowballs and blossoms into something bigger. Mm-hmm. That next thing you know it, you don't have enough money to pay your bills. So I'm just giving an example. And that's an example of how sin works in people's lives and in everybody's life at some point, even if we're always repenting of something, right? So whatever that is for you who are watching this, maybe there is something in your life that you're trying to stop doing. Maybe there is some sin. When you think about obedience, I would just suggest getting to know the teachings of the Catholic Church. People call that catechesis, and that's exactly what it is. But learn the catechism. There's something called like the Bible in a Year by Ascension Press, and then the Catechism in a Year. These are simple ways that people can learn the teachings. Mickey, do you have anything to say about that? Because I think you did the Catechism in a Year, didn't you? Or was it the Bible in a Year?
Actually, Ann, it was both. So, Ann, you did bring up a very excellent point too. I think some of the things that people need to do now is they need to go deeper in the faith. Because let's face it, the problem with Catholics today is they lack the understanding of their faith that they were brought into. And, you know, thank God for Ascension, many other EWTN, what have you. Those ministries have done so much that's helping people really understand the faith, come back to the faith, or kind of receive an invitation to learn more about the faith. Or maybe go back to the basics. It's not easy, but it's something that has to be done. And for us, you know, you have Father Mike who does Bible in the Year, the Catechism in the Year. Now, granted, some people are probably on that journey right now that I'm speaking to, that we're speaking to right now. First thing I could say is keep going. Don't give up. There's a rumor that there's something coming out about the 17 documents that were published during the Second Vatican Council. I don't know when that's going to be, but I can imagine it's going to probably be within a year or two. So you may want to consider learning more about it. Because let's face it, Vatican II, there's been a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstandings about that or about that gathering, which gathered for like a 3-year span. And the truth is going to come out about us sooner or later, whether we like it or not. But yeah, the fact of the matter is, we need to start learning the truth about the faith, because Christ is truth. The Catholic Church has been truth for nearly 2,000 years. Why is that? It's because the church was founded by God. Other churches were practically founded by flawed individuals who hated what the church stood for, and they wanted to be their own God. And that is why the Catholic Church has been under attack for so many years. Mm-hmm. Not just from the outside, but within. That's why God is asking us to obey Him, to follow Him, to preach His commandments. And we need to do that now.
That's right. And I like how you tied in obedience there too, which you did just at the end there. And a reminder, you know, Mickey and I also did a whole 10-part series on the Ten Commandments, didn't we, Mickey? Actually, I think it might have been just four podcasts, because I think we put some of them together. I think we kind of linked a couple of the commandments together. But that was a good series. Mickey and I have done quite a few series in the past. Now, I do want to make an announcement to all of you too, is that Mickey and I have been doing successive podcasts for several years now. Mickey's going to be taking a bit of a break, and so we have some new series that are going to be happening. One series will be with myself, and that will be 12 virtues for adult children of divorce. That's one series. And the other one are 12 ways to overcome a crisis with myself and Catholic author Caroline Godin. So keep an eye on our Filling or Notice YouTube channel on the new series that we're going to be doing. But we first got to finish this one, right, Mickey? We have to be strong about ending this one and thanking you for your sacrifice of doing so many of these wonderful podcasts with us. Do you have any final words on obedience before we end?
Plain simply, obey God, not man.
There you go. That was easy, simple, and succinct. So we want to thank all of you again for joining us on this series. We have one more in the series of 10 virtues for Catholics affected by divorce and separation. Don't forget to subscribe to Filling or Notice on YouTube. Mickey, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
See you all next time.